What if who I hoped to be was always me? And the love I fought to feel was always free.
Welcome to the Work-Life Dynamic Podcast presented by DT Rosa Management Consultants. Seek a more fulfilling, joyful, and effective way to work. I'm your host, Daniel Rosa, and I'm joined by my coworker, friend, and fellow Orioles aficionado, Andrew Nellies.
Hi. I am here.
Tell me, Andrew, how are the Orioles doing?
If you asked me this question about 3 days ago, I would have a much better answer for you. But losing a couple of games in the whole series to a team that hasn't won, 70 games?
Not even.
Is not the way to enter Tampa Bay Rays weekend.
Andrew, so per our calendar, we're going to the Orioles game tomorrow against Tampa Bay. How are you feeling about the weekend series?
I just want to see better bullpen pitching down the stretch because the starters have done, by and large, enough to get us where we need to be at the end of games. But the bullpen is not what it's cracked up to be, and it's they've been crumbling a lot late, and that's been really devastating. So I want to see bullpen close it out.
All right. Earlier today, you took the Working Genius Assessment. Now, this is kind of funny because I brought the Working Genius Assessment. Like I said, 2.5 years ago, I'm on a run. I'm listening to a podcast. I'm starting to go bananas about this. This is our fifth episode. We've walked through the model. We've talked about some nuances of it. But what's really exciting is Andrew here. We've been talking about it. We consulted last week. I talked about consulting our staff. Andrew's the one that helped us with it. And today was the first time he took the assessment. What were your results?
Surprising is what they were. My geniuses, I was discernment, which I knew was going to be discernment. The surprising part was the other genius was tenacity. I've always thought that tenacity was, it being the finisher mentality, I always thought it was the most frustrating one for me. As a discerner, I'm very much a thinker. And so tenacity is that hardcore, the doing of the thing. I felt like that would contrast a little bit with the discernment aspect because I am so much of a thinker and a rationalizer. Doing more reading about what it implies about my work ethic, what it implies about how I find fulfillment and joy in working. As you put it, you call it the judicious
accomplisher.
The judicious accomplisher. That makes sense. That makes sense. I am definitely someone who likes to see something through to the end. And I don't give up on things very easily. I've been working on some projects that have sat dormant for 3 years before I come back to them and I pick them back up again. I don't tend to lose the drive to finish something. Doing more reading about it makes more sense. Competency-wise, wonder and enablement. And then frustrations, this was, again, the confusion was galvanizing
right.
And invention.
Yeah.
Particularly invention. I like to come up with new ways to do things because yeah. I'm looking for that better way all the time. I think doing more talking about it as we were doing prior to recording was hearing that the inventor is always the one who's coming up with something new. And that kind of represents to me a little bit of a dissatisfaction at all times, a lack of appreciation for progress.
Mm.
As a discerner and I guess a tenacious person, that's something that I don't have. I don't have this lack of appreciation for progress.
That's the interesting part about taking this because Andrew and I were guessing the entire time we were working together. We were pretty set about discernment. And then we were going back and forth between enablement. We talked about invention. Tenacity was probably a competency. This is an interesting result for me because you had so much pre-understanding of the assessment. I'm wondering what impacted this taking of it. I believe earlier today you took your pre-Cana test with your fiance.
Ran out of time for that, actually. I did not get to do that.
I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
I pulled him into mine. Mine's more important than his pre-Cana. And then you also were doing work in the office. You had a phone call. So all this stuff was playing into before taking the assessment. When I took the assessment, I was post-workout, just showered up, and I was kind of calm. It was a summertime thing. I'm wondering if that played into the results.
That's possible.
Mm-hmm. However, they say not to retake it. They actually recommend not redoing it.
Kind of like Myers-Briggs.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit. Every genius has that which you crave and that which crushes you. The thing about cravings for a discerner is that you crave to be trusted and you crave for people to hear you. Mm. And what crushes you is when people don't recognize your input. For the tenacious person, what you crave is clarity in the direction in which you're heading. Because if someone was changing the direction of the boat that you're already moving, that would frustrate you. There is something that we said, like inventors love freedom. And then when they're constrained, it's kind of an interesting thing though, the invention, and tenacious people. There's a freedom for an inventor to operate, but then there's a lane for the tenacious person to work. At what times do you like to invent? When in your life do you like to come up with something new?
And the answer to this kind of makes it more clear to me why invention is not a genius for me. I like to invent when it is clear and obvious that something is not working and more or less not salvageable. For example, at Chick-fil-A, there were times when we would totally remodel the way that we're conducting the drive-thru operation. What we used to do is, I keep talking about them in the first person.
You love it so much.
When I started there, we would place the orders and we would store them in a deferred queue. And this queue would be visible by the kitchen. They would be stored in the order that they're coming to the window. And there would be a person where the lanes meet that would be directing the traffic, just to, following the order of the queue, making sure that what they send to the window is the next one up, next person up. And that made so much sense to me. And it seemed like the best possible route, especially because a lot of the times you would have someone new and less experienced in the window or taking orders. You want to be minimizing confusion as much as possible. So when you have everything coming in the proper order, except for occasional outliers, it's very easy for this less experienced person to get in the rhythm of the job. And then we changed it and we started tendering orders in the drive-thru. That would mean that if you have John over here is super fast at taking orders and he's taking lane one and he's finished up four orders, and Billy over in lane two, he's less fast, likes to spend more time with the guests maybe, and he's only done two. Then we're having four cars in lane one. Because there's no one communicating to these drivers of who to go next, they just kind of go when they feel like it's clear for them to go. So it almost never would come in order. So you have to be much more careful about which car is here, which customer is here, or guest, and then make sure that you grab the correct bag of food to give to them. And I thought, why change this if it was working?
Mm.
Like it's the if it ain't broke, don't fix it
yep.
mentality. Whereas the inventor is like, it ain't broke, but let's do something else.
Let's do something else.
But no, I was frustrated by that. So I can understand that more now talking about it.
That's interesting. Okay, so you brought up Chick-fil-A. You worked there for a little bit. Tell us about your work experience. What brings you in today? Because I actually want to get to a really exciting part. We're going to be doing a live brainstorming session for possibly consulting a Chick-fil-A, a franchise. So first tell us, how did you get here? Why are you sitting here? We're talking about Working Genius and Chick-fil-A and stuff.
Sure. So started working at a Chick-fil-A in 2019, just starting college. I've been working a little bit as a referee for a while, but that was my first shift kind of job. So I did that and I got promoted to a trainer position after about a year and a half, 2 years or so, and performed in that capacity for a while. Would train a lot of new recruits, would do a little bit of refresher training for people, always being that vocal presence on the floor to make sure people are constantly learning, always working, aren't mm-hmm. leaning up against the counters. We had an old saying, we had two actually, if you have time to lean, you got time to clean. And then the other one, which is less spread around, but also done, was if you got time to talk, you got time to stalk.
Ouch.
So that was another one. Yeah, that one wasn't as kind. Yeah, so I was talked about for a promotion to team leader, and then some miscommunications about hourly expectations in terms of what time you come in. I was meeting the requirements. Some people were hearing that I wasn't meeting the requirements, and so that kind of fell through. And then I got this job here at St. Joe's doing administrative work and virtue screening coordination. So August of 2022, I should say, for the administrative work, and then June of this year for the Virtus work. And you were the one who introduced me to the Working Genius. I had never heard of it before. I had a background in Myers-Briggs, and that worked pretty well for me. It wasn't really put into practice much where I would be. So when you introduced me to the Working Genius, I thought there's a lot here, and I definitely want to look into this, because something that I noticed a lot with Chick-fil-A was Chick-fil-A has that reputation for being this pool of all these like sheltered homeschool people who are all super friendly and everything, but we did not all work together very well. We did not all like each other very much. There was definitely a lot of tension, a lot of frustrations, and a lot of bad relationships.
And here we're just going to vent and talk about it. And I'm going to call them by name.
And I'm kidding. No.
Welcome to DT Rosen Management Counseling. So here, you can use this whiteboard if you want. So I have my whiteboard. We're going to jump into something that Andrew and I were able to talk about earlier. It's a pickup of a brainstorming session. So again, I'm going to talk about four conversations you can have with someone. Brainstorming session, which focuses on WID, a decision-making discernment meeting, which is IDG, launching DGE, and then removing obstacles GET. So we actually has already brainstormed most of it, but we're going to go into some discernment and deciding about what's good to make of his idea on how to consult a Chick-fil-A. But because of a frustration in invention, I don't want to be stuck in the ID loop, invention discernment loop. I'm going to galvanize him to think about his solution.
Thank you.
And I'm going to lean on my G&E in order to assist him. So check this out, ladies and gentlemen. If you want, here's the whiteboard, but I might be just taking notes.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm the whiteboard guy.
I can't reach very well. First thing I want to do is approach job satisfaction and engagement. And by doing that, I want to learn how those who are being managed feel about the way that they are being managed by those who are managing them.
Okay.
And so what that entails is just understanding the management style of the managers. So the working genius essentially of these managers. That's the first thing I want to know.
You have the red shirts from Star Trek, and then you have the yellow, just kidding. But we're talking about job satisfaction and engagement. We're looking at that first.
Yes.
What else are we looking at after, say, you do a working genius assessment and you do a consulting session with them? What are you doing next?
Well, it depends on what you find. If you find that people are not engaged, then you know you need to figure out why. If you find out that they are engaged, then the next thing to do is to make sure that they are given as many responsibilities as they can handle, as many that they are taught as many things as they can master. And the reason for that is if you have people that are happy where they're working, happy who they're working for, and trust those who are leading them, they are much more likely to work hard enough to learn well. And the more that people learn and the more that they know and retain, the better off that you are. Because in a pinch, someone calls out or someone gets sick, you suddenly need more people in a certain spot, such as order taking, because there's a football game at the school next door and everybody's coming in to get ice cream afterwards, and you need to get through things quickly. Then you have a lot of people who can really problem solve and really think on their own without having to burden the managers too much with having to do too much direct one-on-one leadership of each individual.
Let's assume there is trust. It may not be vulnerability-based trust, but let's assume they are engaged, that they're willing to work on their management style. Where are we going from here?
Sure. So normally that kind of trust would be integrity-based. If a manager is telling someone, hey, let's not be on our phones while we're working, especially in the view of the guests, but then that manager whips out their phone 5 minutes later, then they lose all their integrity. They lose all their credibility. Without vulnerability trust, normally it's integrity based. So that means the staff trusts that what they are taught to do is the right thing to do. You assess what people have been trained on, what tasks they have been trained on. There is a massive amount of tasks that go on in Chick-fil-A restaurant. People don't seem to understand that until they start to work there. You have order taking, drink making, milkshakes, bagging, organizing, window, IPOS, cleaning, running. There's so many things.
I'm getting a headache just thinking about it.
So what I want to do is I want to know who knows what, who is ready for higher responsibility. And the jobs themselves have a sort of natural hierarchy of responsibility to them. because of how much they depend on someone's accuracy, someone's efficiency, and customer service skills and things like that.
Am I going in just changing people up based on their genius?
Working genius, I want to inform the placement of people in certain spots, because customer service based positions such as order taking are going to require a different area of fulfillment than someone who's bagging and not even looking at customers. I want to couple these skills assessments in terms of the on the job work, not working genius assessments, but the Chick-fil-A operations skills assessments with working genius assessments to see if someone is not good at paying close attention to what they're putting in a bag. I don't want them to be bagging. But if this same person is very good at greeting people warmly and making sure that they have what they need on the back end, then I want to make sure that they are taking orders in the drive-thru, or they are running orders out to people, or they are helping in the dining room or working in the window, things like that have that direct face-to-face interaction with guests.
Mm-hmm. I'm loving that for this reason. It is putting people where they will experience fulfillment and yes. to be on their feet for 8 hours at a time with a 30-minute break.
Yes.
We got to think about longevity, because turnover is probably nuts in the food industry in general, but we're talking about Chick-fil-A, a high standard. People show up and they love the food. They love the atmosphere. It's family friendly. People go in. You can be any age. And when everyone says, hey, you want to get Chick-fil-A? Absolutely. I mean, that Panu pimento cheese, not to do a sponsorship, but Chick-fil-A, if you sponsor DT Rose Management Consultants, that pimento cheese honey butter sandwich is fire. By moving people to where they're meant to be, understand their working genius, I think you'll go very, very far. That being said, even working in your genius again and again and again is exhausting.
Yep.
How do you navigate that exhaustion?
Job rotation. This comes back down to the second thing. So we've already talked about the trust in leadership, trust in management, and there's a little more to that. We'll come back to that. This comes to job rotation. If someone is doing the same thing over and over and over again, even if they enjoyed it for a while, they will start to hate it, dread it, and resent it. For example, I used to love being in the window when I was there. I thought it was so great. It was so easy. I'm just standing here. I have the name of the person right in front of me. I just say, hey, I say your name, and then I say, good morning, how are you? Totals this, give them their stuff, have a brief conversation if something's waiting. And that was some of my favorite experiences starting out. Then I did it so much. And I was like, hey, how you doing? Here's your food. And it's like the same job that holds your interest for so long can experience a kind of restlessness doing it. So job satisfaction just plummets. And it's nothing about the job itself. It's just a matter of the sheer volume with which you were doing that job. So job rotation, and this comes back to those skill assessments. I want people to know as much as possible so that you can maximize the potential for job rotation.
You want to increase their knowledge of multiple different
yes.
skills, multiple
yes.
different tasks.
Yes, I want to give people as wide a portfolio of skills as possible.
Whoa, this has been awesome. Andrew Nellies, thank you for tuning in with us. We're actually going to take a pause right here. I'm going to have our normal outro. If you want a free 30-minute consultation, reach out to dtrosamc@gmail.com. We're going to pick up the conversation next week. Thank you so much for joining in. WSJF 92.7 FM, Danny G for engineering the podcast. And we'll see you guys on the next podcast. God bless.